A little change in our schedule. Our brother Timothy has some personal matter that he needs to attend to, and that is why I'm here this morning. As I pray before the Lord what we are going to be meditating on, and the Lord put in me a verse in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we know that it is what people call the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we would like to take, there are, in the first section the Lord has given us 8 blessings. And this morning we will take a look at the 6th blessing, and that is in verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8, the Lord says in here, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And that's the theme that we will meditate on this morning. Let us turn to another passage. And as we have said before, after the Lord has given the Sermon on the Mount, he then, following that, from chapter 8, he started to show the disciples how to live a kingdom life. And in chapter 8, let us turn to chapter 8. The Lord showed them how to be pure in the heart. Let us read chapter 8 from verse 16 to 22. 16 to 22. Can I ask Titus to read it out loud and slow for us, please?
When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits from his word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead."
Thank you. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is the condition of a human heart before we are saved? Now, we know that in Jeremiah it tells us that the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Only the Lord who searches the heart knows it. And as far as our natural heart is concerned, whether we admit it or not, whether we would agree to it or not, the word of the Lord tells us that it is wicked. It is incurable. We do not know how evil our heart is. We do not know. We think that our hearts are fine, or maybe a little problem. But the Lord in here said that it is incurable. We do not accept the fact that it is incurable. But since the fall of man, man's heart has become defiled and is hopeless and is beyond repair. However, through his redemptive work, the Lord gives those who believe in him a new heart. And as Ezekiel chapter 36 tells us, that God will give us a new spirit within us. He will remove the a heart of stone. Now, heart of stone would mean an insensitive heart, a hardened heart from our flesh, and give us a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh would mean a soft, tender heart, a heart that is sensitive to God. As our physical heart is very vital to our physical body, so is our inner heart as vital to our spiritual life. And that is why Proverbs chapter 4 tells us that we need to guard our heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. We need to guard it with all diligence. Now, the word heart in the Bible, it appears over 800 times. In some versions, it's over 833 times, if you like. In other versions, it's over 860 sometimes. Okay, and we know God created man with a spirit, a soul, and a body. But what about a heart? Where is the heart? We know that the heart mentioned in the Bible does not point to our fleshly, our physical heart. The heart, brothers and sisters, is the passage between the soul and the spirit. The heart includes part of the function of the spirit and all of the functions of the soul. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. In here, the heart equaled to conscience. Conscience actually is one of the functions of the spirit. If you like, we know that our spirit has three functions, and conscience is one of them. Do you know what's the other two? We'll skip that for now. If you like, you can ask me later on. Now, in the Old Testament, we cannot find the word conscience there. In the Old Testament, they always used the word heart to substitute the word conscience. After David cut off the fringe of Saul's skirt, the Bible tells that his heart smoked him. In other words, his conscience bothers him. Our conscience is the voice of God. God is the center of our conscience after we are cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus. But our heart is more than just a conscience. Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that the word of the Lord is living and active and sharper than the two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, and both joints and marrow, enabled to discern the thoughts and intention of the heart. Now, in here, the thought of the heart points to our mind, points to our reasoning. And the intention of the heart refers to our will, our decision-making mechanism. So in here, we can see that the heart includes the mind and our will. But actually, more than that, if you take a look at Hebrews chapter 3, it says in there, "Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts." Now, this harden your heart, this heart points to our emotion. In other words, do not be unaffectionate toward the Lord. So our heart includes our conscience. It includes our will. It includes our mind. It also includes our emotion. And it is the center of our spiritual being. And that is why we must guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's very important that we keep guard of our heart. But what is a pure heart? What is it? A pure heart is more than just a clean heart, which was cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus. Oftentimes, when our heart is under condemnation, when we do something against our conscience, then we have an unclean conscience. And whenever our conscience bothers us, we go to the Lord and ask His blood to cleanse us and restore to us a clean conscience. Therefore, there's nothing in our conscience that would accuse us before God. But dear brothers and sisters, a pure heart is more than just a clean conscience. A pure heart is an undivided heart. It is a single heart toward the Lord. A pure heart is the whole heart, as it is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our might. So a pure heart is like that of a virgin, totally dedicated to the Lord. And that is what God is looking for today, a purity of heart. When the Lord gives us a new heart, the heart is pure. But as days goes by, our heart is influenced or defiled or corrupted by many things. Today, if we hear God's voice, if we do not harden our heart, we will be able to restore back to a pure heart. For our hearts may be deceived today by the deceitfulness of sin. And many times, like the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, we allow our hearts to be spoiled by many things that comes into it. The enemy of God uses the world, and in this case it means the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, to contaminate our heart, to divide our heart. Now, our heart attitude, that this heart attitude of singleness, of full devotion to the Lord, is what God wants us to have today. You know that God does not look at our outward appearance. He does not look at our outward act. He looked right into our heart. We confess that we do not have this heart attitude before the Lord. And if we permit Him, He will take us through a process of purification and make our heart to become single toward Him again. The question is, how do we keep a pure heart? How do we keep a pure heart? The passage that Titus just read to us, after the Lord Jesus spoke that Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus began to show His disciples how to live a kingdom life, how to be pure in heart. Now, after He healed many people, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, it says in there, "Now when Jesus saw a crowd around Him, He gave order to depart to the other side." There was a big crowd around Him. And yet, He said, "Well, let's depart from the crowd. Let's go to the other side." Brothers and sisters, to be pure in heart, the first step is to leave the crowd. Depart from the crowd. The meaning of the word Christian, as we all know, it means a called out people. We are chosen by God to live a called out life while on earth. To be among the multitude or the crowd means to be occupied by the people or the things of the world. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, He approached the multitude, the crowd, and healed many sickness, many of those who are sick, and taught them about the kingdom of heaven. He works to gain men, but He never spent his daily life among the multitude. His hidden life was to live continually before his father and among his disciples. The Bible mentions many times that the Lord Jesus withdrew from the multitude, such as when he fed the 5,000, the multitude was about to take him to be the king. And he made his disciples, and in other words, he forced his disciples to get into the boat to go to the other side. And he departed to the mountain to pray to the Father. He avoids, in another word, the crowd who seek for thrills. To maintain a purity of his work, he did not give himself to the multitude because he knows their selfish motive or selfish intention. And likewise, to maintain a pure heart before God, we have to leave the crowd as well. Now, what does it mean of leaving the crowd? Today, very often, we allow ourselves to be so occupied by the affairs and things of the world that we rarely find much time or any time to spend along with the Lord. Our daily schedule is always fully booked with appointments. This indeed is the typical lifestyles of the 21st century. Always rushing from one place to the other, always doing one task after the other, and sometimes we multitask. We do several tasks all at the same time, and that's what window does. We're always too tied up and too busy that even coming to the regular church meeting sometimes become a struggle, isn't it? Let alone spending time, quality time, that's what I mean. Devoting ourselves to reading God's Word. Quality time in praying before God. Furthermore, we want the Lord to understand and to excuse us of all the seemingly legitimate worldly affairs. As technology advances, we have more and more toys, so to speak, to help us finish our task in the shortest possible time. Years ago, when TV, computer, high-speed internet, and all of those things were not common, the pace of life was not as fast as today. And people's lifestyle was relatively simple. I remember in the old days when we do not have all of these high-tech things. Life was simple. It was really simple. You know, when we ran around, you know, in the old days, right now we have runners and all those things. In the old days, when I was a little kid, I ran around all over the place with bare feet. And you know what? All the kids did that. So, I mean, life is simple. We did not need to shop around for Nike or whatever brand. We don't even have all of those things, okay? Life was very simple. But today, with all the new technology, it's supposed to save us time. It's supposed to help us run faster, to finish our job faster. However, we find that we are busier than before. We have those toys. Not only adults are busy, students are very busy with many academic and non-academic activities. And even retired people, they find their schedule is fully booked. We wish to have more hours in the day to do all the things that we want to do. Our minds are so occupied with so many things, we do not have much of a quiet time before the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Often our hearts are crowded with affairs of this life. No wonder we do not see God. Brothers and sisters, come to the Lord and ask Him to show you what are those multitudes of things or affairs in your life that are keeping you away from drawing near to the Lord. Is it your ambition or your ambitious goal in life? Or is it that TV program? Or is it that relationship? Are we willing to let the world around us fade away? Are we willing to do that so that we can draw close to the Lord? Paul warned the brothers and sisters in 2 Corinthians, "I fear as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, what is the simplicity that is in Christ? To our Lord Jesus, he has only one purpose, and it is none other than doing the will of his Father, or to be mindful of his Father's business. In another word, the Father's business always take preeminent position above all things. Our Lord Jesus would let go of anything that strives with God or coming into conflict with God's will. Even Paul himself, he testified, he conducted himself in the world in simplicity of godly sincerity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Can we testify the same way as Paul? Today we find our daily life is so saturated with countless activities, various tasks and assignments. I believe this is the crafty work of the devil today. He is throwing at us a very complex and complicated social and economical system, so that we find ourselves forever playing the catch-up game. And sadly to say, today many Christians, the last thing we can think of or to do is to come to see God and to spend time with him. Yet, brothers and sisters, God should be our very source of life. No wonder we say that we feel so dry inside, because we have been cut off or constantly being interrupted by the multitude of affairs that ensnares us. I think recently in our Tuesday night prayer meeting, that's the burden that the Lord has been putting into the hearts of the brothers and sisters in that prayer meeting. To be pure in heart, the first thing the Lord wants us to do is to leave the crowd. But how do we leave the crowd? Does it mean that we have to live in a monastery so that we would do nothing but seeking God? Does it mean that we would not take up any responsibility as a student, as a worker, as a parent, so that we have ample time to draw close to God? Does it mean that? If we take a look at the Lord's earthly life, you would have to agree that he was busier than any one of us. No argument there, I don't think. Working all the day and even sometimes into the evening. He was still healing the sick. He was still attending to people's need. Brothers and sisters, to leave the crowd is to reserve your heart for the Lord and not to let the multitudes of affairs in life to occupy our heart. Remember Daniel and his three friends? They were the highest officials serving a foreign king, and they were supposed to be extremely busy with many things, and yet they reserved their heart for the Lord, even amidst great responsibility that was placed on them. You may be involved with numerous things. However, your heart is not given to those things. It should not be given to those things. In other words, you would not allow the earthly affair to capture your heart. Your heart is still single and pure toward the Lord. This is what it means by to be pure, to have a pure heart. But we have said that our heart, brothers and sisters, are wicked, unreliable. In fact, beyond cure. We cannot keep our hearts pure before the Lord. This is the fact. So what are we going to do? We need to give our heart to the Lord and let Him keep it for us. In Proverbs chapter 23, it says in there, "My son, give me your heart and let your eye delight in my ways." God is calling us to give our heart to Him. We cannot keep our heart. We need to give our heart to Him. He will keep it for us. If you give your heart to the Lord, your eyes will delight in His way. We will see clearly that what Paul actually meant when he said that, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Paul committed his heart to the Lord, and the Lord kept it for him, so that his heart remained singled to the Lord until the day when he met the Lord face to face. If you have not truly given your heart to the Lord, no matter what else you give, brothers and sisters, as far as God is concerned, it does not count. It does not count. When you give your heart to the Lord, you must give Him all of your heart, the whole heart, not just part of it. And isn't this what the Lord required of His people? That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your might. And if you do that, brothers and sisters, God will keep your heart for you. The second thing that in order to have a pure heart, we need to examine our motive. The motive of our heart must be pure. In verse 19 and 20, the passage that we just read, there was a certain scribe came and said to the Lord Jesus. He said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And the Lord Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have his nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." We're all familiar with this. Here the scribe has a zeal to follow Jesus, to seek after the kingdom of God. And yet the Lord Jesus did not accept him. You know that scribes in the Lord Jesus' time, they are teachers themselves. This scribe probably was so impressed by the teaching of the Lord and the authority of the Lord's teaching that he wanted to learn his teachings. And that is why he addressed the Lord Jesus as teacher. And he came to the Lord on that intellectual basis. However, he would never see God if he regarded Jesus as a teacher only. He can never see him that way. His motive in coming to the Lord is not pure. Scribes in the Lord Jesus' days like praises and admiration of men. And at that time, the Lord was very popular with many people around him. What the scribe really wanted is he wanted to gain more recognition from men. When he came to follow Jesus, he came with a different motive. His heart was not to seek God, but to increase his knowledge, to seek the approval and praises of men. Now, his heart was not single and pure. That is why the Lord did not encourage him to follow, but to discourage his decision to come to him. The Lord said to him, "While foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Now, this does not mean that he does not have a pillow to lay his head, but that he has no place of his own. It means that even foxes have their secure hole, and even birds have their established nest. But the Son of Man is rejected on earth. What the Lord Jesus is saying to the scribes is this: sorry, you won't find praise and recognition of man by following me. To be pure in heart means to want God and God only, not God plus the favor or the recognition of the world. We cannot have the best of both worlds, though many a times we try. I try. We cannot seek both God and the world at the same time, because we cannot serve two masters. Because where the treasure is, there will your heart be. That is why we need to make a prayer like David, like the song that we just sang in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Prove me and know my thought. Now this thought is conflicting thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way, adulterous way, in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. The conflicting thoughts are thoughts between the interest of God and your self-interest. Are you doing certain things in God's interest, or are you trying to satisfy your self-interest? For example, if you go to school, are you going to school for God or for yourself? If you take up a job, do you take up a job for God or for yourself? Maybe when you first start your job, it was for God. And many a times we may do that. We may have that kind of attitude. And then we begin to do it for our own reason as time goes on. We need to ask God to search us, to reveal the hidden intention that is in us. Now, the wicked way in this psalm, it points to adulterous way. It means that we adore something else other than the Lord. Idol worshiper. That's what that means. We have in our heart some other idols, some other thing that we treasure more than that of the Lord. And that is not a pure heart toward the Lord. That, in fact, is infidelity to God. We need to ask God to examine us, that we may walk in the way everlasting. Why do we need to make such prayer? Why do we sing it Friday? Why do we sing it again this morning? Because it is easy for us to take back our heart. Yes, we did give our heart to the Lord before, but it's so easy for us to take it back. If we do not want God to search our heart, slowly, unknowingly, our heart would become adulterous. And often we come to the Lord with mixed motive, just like the scribe. So we need to ask the Lord to examine our motive, the motive of our heart. Now the third thing is to have a pure heart is to follow Jesus immediately, now, and unconditionally. In verse 21 and 22 that Titus read for us, then there's another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Unlike the scribe who addressed the Lord Jesus as teacher, this person was a disciple because he has confessed Jesus by calling him Lord. That's a good thing. But this disciple has a wrong approach in seeking after God. His mistake is, let me first go, blah, blah, blah. This disciple called Jesus as Lord, and yet he put his own agenda, his own decision before his master and Lord. What was his agenda? He said, well, let me go and bury my father first, and then I'll come and follow you. But you know, in some Greek grammar, they said, some Bible scholars said that it can also be possible that his father at that time might not have been dead yet. And if so, what this disciple was saying is that he wanted to wait until his father had died, and then he will follow the Lord. That's what he meant. Now, this is similar to what we would say to the Lord. Lord, let me finish my degree. Lord, let me buy my house, my first house first. And of Lord, let me have a family first. Or after I establish my finances or my business. Or Lord, after I'm retired, then I'll come and follow you. That's what that means. To say to God, let me first do my own things, because this is very important to me at this particular time of my life, and then I'll come to follow you. This is to put God on hold. You hear what I'm saying? To say something like this to the Lord is to put him on hold. Are we putting God on hold so that we can pursue our own agenda? Are we putting him on hold? Sometimes where I have talked to some young people and the changes that they have in their life, in effect, they're putting God on hold. Sometimes it could be for a year or two. That's a terrible thing. How did Jesus answer this disciple? The Lord Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. In the Lord Jesus' answer, it is the follow me that should have the first priority. To be pure in heart and to be able to see God is to follow Jesus immediately and unconditionally. The Lord will never take a second place in our priority list, if there is such a list in your heart. If the Lord's in the Lord's answer, the first dead refers to the spiritually dead. In another word, that is the unregenerated. And the second dead points to those who are physically dead, and that is the disciple's father. It is reasonable to want to bury one's father, brothers and sisters. That is true. But the Lord wants us to know that his demand is higher than any earthly relationship, whatever that relationship may be. Who is worthy to be his disciple? Who has a pure heart for the Lord? Who can see God today? It is he who put God in the preeminent position. Many Christians who have problems in their life will find a common cause for their problem. It is their inadequate consecration. Their dedication to the Lord has been watered down due to other issues in life. Brothers and sisters, we need the cross to deal with our inadequate consecration. Do not think that we can get by without bearing the cross. Sometimes we hope that that can happen. The Lord said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. This is required for discipleship. The cross is to deal with our self-pride, self-motive, self-preference or desire. When the Holy Spirit searches us, are you willing to submit to the Lord now and unconditionally? Are you willing to let the dead bury their own dead? Are you willing to let go of those of your own agenda and follow the Lord unconditionally and immediately? To let go of those of your agenda, meaning to deny yourself. That's what it means by denying yourself. Many a time we use spiritual terms that we don't even know what is the practical application of it. May the Lord help us to rededicate ourselves to him. Now, what is the blessing to those who are pure in heart? What blessing is there? They shall see God. Is there anything in this world that is more precious than seeing God, brothers and sisters? Who can see God? Those who are pure in heart. How can we see God? Even Moses, who was the faithful servant of the Lord, can only see God's back. God said that no man can see me and live. But Jesus said to Philip, "You have seen me. He who has seen me has seen the Father." Why? Because the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he is the firstborn of all creation. Accordingly, seeing the Lord Jesus today is the same thing as seeing our Heavenly Father. Now, there is a very, very good example of how the pure in heart receive the blessings of seeing God. And you can find that in John chapter 20. And this is after the Lord Jesus' death and burial. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone was taken away from the tomb. Immediately she ran and told Peter and John, saying that they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now then both Peter and John ran to the tomb and found that the linen wrapping and the face cloth was left there. But the Lord's body was not there, was gone. The Bible tells us that they did not understand the scripture at that time, that the Lord Jesus must rise again from the dead. They did not understand that at that particular time. So what did the disciples do? The disciples went away again to their own home. The most touching part of the whole story can be found in verse 11. It says in there, "But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb." She was weeping. When Peter and John did not find their master's body, they went to their own homes. Yes, they were saddened by the death of their master. And now they were even more perplexed because of the missing body. But they have their own home to go back to. They could still find, in other words, comfort and consolation in their own home. Mary, she has a home too. But her heart was completely devoted to the Lord. She could not find comfort and rest in any other places, not even her own home, unless she found her Lord. Brothers and sisters, have you wept because the Lord is missing from your life? Some of us, we don't even know that the Lord is missing, let alone weeping because of Him not there. Have you found yourself being so inadequate and lost when you do not find His presence? Can we still find consolation somewhere else? Can you truly say that you cannot do without the Lord? Just like that last song that we sang, "I cannot do without Him." And as Mary was looking into the tomb, she beheld two angels in white sitting there. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Brothers and sisters, if you were Mary and saw an angel today, would you not have been so excited, and you would have told the whole church about it? Angels in white garment, shining forth. But this is not so with Mary. Not even two angels sitting inside the tomb could trigger her attention. Brothers and sisters, why did the angels appear to her? Why? They were trying to satisfy her that her Lord Jesus was not missing. That's why they appeared to her. For us, if we have a good meeting, for example, we would have been satisfied. But the question is, have we met the Lord? For example, last week we have Brother Christian Chan to be in our midst. It was wonderful. He has given us much revelation and much spiritual knowledge. We had wonderful meeting, but have you met the Lord personally, in your heart? Mary had a pure heart for the Lord, a single and undivided heart. She just wanted to be with the Lord Himself. Not anyone else, not even angels can take the place of the Lord. You know, in hymn, in a hymn that we sang, the 451, gives us a good description of Mary's heart attitude toward the Lord. It says in that, "I could not do without thee. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me. And weakness will be power if leaning hard on thee." May we have the same attitude as Mary, the singleness of our heart. Oh, let not our heart be contented or rest when loving or seeking what with thee thou part. Brothers and sisters, seeing God is not a casual or superficial knowledge about God. No. You may learn a lot of spiritual knowledge, but seeing God is an entirely different matter. It will turn your life upside down. It has to do that. To Mary Magdalene, seeing God means to stay in the Lord's presence, to have a daily interaction with the Lord. Jesus was to ascend to the Father first and then come back to reveal himself to his disciples. But because of the earnestness of Mary Magdalene, of her heart, he had to appear to her to comfort her. Now, let me ask you this question. When Peter and John came to the tomb, was Jesus not there in the tomb? Was he there or not? He was there. He was right there in the tomb. And Jesus, who showed no partiality, would have appeared to them too. Only if their hearts are really earnest. But they had gone home when they could not find his body. Do we now see what it means to be pure in heart? It is a heart attitude of singleness, a full devotion to the Lord. This is what the Lord wants from us today. We should be like the psalmist who said, "As the deer pant for the water, so my soul thirsts for thee. Oh, when shall I come and appear before my God?" Oh Lord, we confess that this is not yet our heart attitude before God. There are always other things that are between the Lord and us. And if we would permit him, he will take us through a purifying process, and he will reduce our multitudes of affairs into only one thing, and that is himself. If we do not come to see God today, how are we going to face him on the day of his return? How are we going to face him? Do you know that our seeing the Lord when he returns depends on our seeing of him today? It depends, firstly, if we would listen to his voice when he calls, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my way." We are willing to leave the crowd, in other words, if we consecrate our heart to the Lord. And secondly, it depends on if we would pray to the Lord, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Prove me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked ways in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." We will have a pure heart if we ask God to deal with our impure motive. And thirdly, it depends on if we are willing to deny ourselves, to take up our own cross daily and follow Him. Instead of putting God on hold because of our own agenda, we are willing to let go of our own agenda and follow Him now and unconditionally. May God give us a willing heart to seek Him no matter what the cost is. Just like our brother Titus said, yes, there will be a cost to pay. But the cost that we're going to pay compared to the blessing of being able to come into the presence of God, being able to see Him, being able to fellowship with Him, that cost become insignificant. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that You will use Your words to speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit shine Your light upon us. Lord, if our hearts, if our conscience are bothered because of the message, help us to submit ourselves to You. Help us to come to You and help us to learn what it means to leave the crowd and to have the singleness of our heart devoted totally to You. Oh Lord, if we are putting up many agendas before You, before coming to You, Lord, help us to deny ourselves, deny those agendas that are very dear to us, and let us, just like Mary Magdalene, oh, would want to have You and nobody else. Oh Lord Jesus, do this work in us. You know how deceitful our heart is. You know how changeable our heart is. But Lord, we do have a little desire that we want to see You. Lord, do this work of purifying in us. In Your precious name we pray.